The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there, and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
Support for this show comes from The Calling Academy, using research and online courses to empower people from all faiths and spiritual paths to live a full life. Learn how to answer your call at callingacademy.com.
From Spirituality and Health magazine, this is Essential Conversations. My guest today is Stephen Kiesling. He's the editor-in-chief of Spirituality and Health magazine, and Steve comes on just before the release of every issue to talk about what's coming out. So, Steve, welcome to Essential Conversations.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
And what's coming out?
You know, so we're here to talk about our February issue. Which hits the newsstands in right at the end of December. And, you know, we're still in the real world rather than the virtual world. So we, you know, we work way ahead of time and, you know, we team up with artists and we illustrate things and then we send it off to a printer and then we wait and then it shows up in the mailbox or it shows up. It's a very different and actually wonderful way of living that's becoming more and more rare, I guess. So it's an interesting, you know, a combination of technologies to be doing a podcast about a print magazine. You got to love this. But anyway, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's the, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, you do all the work and then there's this lag time while you're working on the next one, which won't be out for months. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's a very different thing. I wonder if it creates a different kind of community of participants, readers, in the sense of the magazine. I know that one of the things that we're trying to do is to move beyond the notion of the passive reader, the just someone who just receives the magazine, absorbs the information, and waits for the next one. I know you're looking for more than that, or you'd like to be a vehicle to help people be more than that.
Yeah, that's very true. And part of what happens is that our readers tend to be, you know, very educated, involved people, the kind of people are doing exactly the sorts of projects that we want to cover. So, you know, part of this endeavor is also to reach out and say, hey, you're reading this magazine because you are interested in what these people are doing, what our experts are doing. And, you know, face it, you're an expert too. So tell us what it is, what's really motivating you at the moment. And that's the business of being a magazine editor is going out and finding people who have things to say. And actually a lot of the people who have really good things to say are people who read this magazine. So this is a pitch to all of our readers to, you know, send in ideas. It's steve@spiritualityhealth.com will get you to my email inbox and, you know, say what you're doing.
So it's not just that you're asking for, oh, Steve, I think we ought to have an article. You ought to research this. You ought to publish something on this. You're actually, if I'm hearing you right, you're actually inviting people to say, I'd like to write something on X. I have expertise in this area. Are you interested in publishing me?
Yeah, that's exactly the point. I mean, I had the, you know, in the course of every issue, most of the time I get to go someplace and do something. That's part of, you know, part of my practice and part of my job is to go find interesting people to talk to. And in this issue, I went to an event called Restaball, which was outside of Flagstaff. And that was Restaval is festival and retreat, a combination. And it was an event created out in the desert and full of interesting people. And actually quite a few of the people there were subscribers to the magazine, including the people who put the thing on, who owned the ranch where this Restaval took place, Mark and Kate Sorensen. And they had come to what was Navajo country. Mark came 40 years ago and fell in love with the place. He was studying education and he wanted to study the Navajo way of education. And he ended up moving there and starting a school called the Star School, which means service to all relations or something. Anyway, it's a wonderful off-the-grid school that's all Navajo kids, and it's all about relationship to each other, to to the planet, to the sky. Amazing place. Anyway, they're subscribers of the magazine, and Mark ended up writing this wonderful story about the Navajo way of peacemaking, which is in the January issue. And hopefully his wife is going to write something else. They're Burning Man people. Every year they've gone to Burning Man, where I've never been. But we actually had we have another piece in this issue from a woman who's been going to Burning Man for years, and she sees that as the, creativity is the antidote to, all of the other kind of terrible things that are happening on our planet right now. Anyway, the community of spirituality and health keeps expanding through these connections. And it's amazing to find, find our subscribers in interesting places, like way out in the middle of the desert or at Burning Man or at conferences or wherever. So
no, that's fine. I mean, I've never been to Burning Man either. Every time I think of Burning Man, I just think of hemorrhoids. that's as close to Burning Man as I'm ever going to get. But I think it's really fascinating. If people are hearing this the way you intend it and the way I'm hearing it myself, is you're really asking for another level of engagement with the reader/contributor. And I hope people are going to take that to heart because like you said, each person who gets the magazine has a passion for something, an interest in something, an expertise in something. And if they let you know, there may be an opportunity for them to share that with the other. Then it's a real community. We get to share with each other and not simply receive what you like. In many magazines, there's sort of that elite group that gets to publish. And here you're saying, no, let's learn from each other.
What we're looking for is really the awakening moments that people have. And one of the awakening moments that I ran across at this Restaval experience was a woman named Hannah Mendoza, who runs the Hippie Zippy Elixir Bar. And she goes to festivals and she's used to, dancing all night and you have a sea of bodies and they're going crazy. And she was running her some sort of food truck, I guess, a vegan food truck. And she realized that she didn't want to try and stay up all night by drinking caffeine or doing drugs or all the other things that people typically do to stay up all night and dance. And so she started playing with superfoods. And her awakening was to make these elixirs out of, combinations of mushrooms and different nut milks and all these things. I mean, not the magic mushrooms, but I mean, just, healthy mushrooms and to make things make elixirs that allow people to dance all night or to recover from dancing all night. And it was amazing to be at this, out in the desert where she's making these potions with her blender each morning. And they're really fabulous. And she's, she's created a business, that goes to all these festivals now and makes these magical potions and people dance all night with them. But she also provides the recipes in the issue of, how to make them make them yourself, and you know how to set your intention. You know, this is what you want to do. If you want to be calm, or if you want to be excited, or this or that, you add these ingredients. Yeah, I'd never thought about my morning coffee that way.
Yeah, right. And this is a way to share. And if not just in the print magazine, you could share it online too with the website. So
exactly, yeah.
I know that you talked to a couple of, or not talked to, you're publishing a couple of my friends in the next issue, the January-February issue, Ed Bastian and Adyashanti. And they're two very, very different characters, certainly. But you know, I know that Ed, in the essay he's publishing with you, but just because I've known him for the last 15 plus years, he is involved in a sense in helping people fashion their own spiritual paths based on what he calls your spiritual style or spiritual learning style. Just the way, you know, people are audio learners or kind of aesthetic learners or, you know, visual learners. He's got a whole list of ways that people engage in spirituality and suggests that you work with the one that's your strong suit and not sort of force yourself into someone else's system. And I'm curious from your experience with readers, if that's a general trend, in other words, creating your own spiritual path is a general trend. Because I know Thomas Moore, who writes for us every time, a regular columnist, he's got a number of books about this kind of thing, about creating your own religious path, your own spiritual path. So is that, you think that's sort of a general interest of the reader?
I think so. I mean, the question is, how does each one of us choose a path? And I think both Adyashanti and Ed are going at the same question. I mean, Adyashanti's great, his push is to ask people to find the question that they need to ask. Mm-hmm. And Ed lays it out of here are a dozen great questions. You know, start with these, see what resonates.
Right. Right. That works together very nicely.
Yeah. It's all getting at the same thing. I've never sat with Adyashanti, though I know so many people who have, so I feel like I know him. And the same thing, I've never met Ed, but I've talked to him on the phone a lot, so I feel like I know him. You know, I think the issue is about is helping people find a path. And I think at this moment, and one of the things I love that you wrote in the issue was about finding a path where we were working on this issue when a bomb was dropped in the middle of it, at least for me, in terms of the election and just waking up to a different kind of reality or awakening to the, I think you described it very well, is that there's an ongoing battle between, people, the search for freedom and trying to avoid freedom.
Right. Yeah, what Eric Fromm calls the escape from freedom.
Yeah, and we have a path, trying to stay on a path, and then the path changes. And at the same time, how do you realign? And I think that's where this issue is particularly helpful. Because, I'm 58 years old. I think, well, I have a path. But guess what? I can read through Ed's checklist and go, wait a second. Okay, how do I realign myself now, given what's happened? And that's really important, I think. And actually, to take a moment to stop and not react, and think about, okay, well, where am I right now, given this? It's not that the world has changed, but there is the lens that we see the world has certainly shifted, I think, in a very uncomfortable way.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
And this is a good moment to really reflect on that, and what do we do moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would say two things to that. Number one, I don't want to assume that spirituality and health readers are all on the liberal end of the spectrum, or all Democrats, or all voted for, you know, one candidate, or no one voted for President-elect Trump.
Fair enough. That's true. So
I don't really want to go that way, but I think things have changed, though I don't think the election in and of itself is the cause of the change. I think it simply reflects the change. And one of the things that's changed is we live in a post-truth reality. Facts don't matter. And here we are, or you are, I guess I work for you, but here we are publishing a magazine that is about truth and about facts, about, look, here's a practice, something that we think works. And I'm wondering if we have you feel a greater responsibility to get these truths out there in a post-truth environment.
Yes, and it's actually one of the things that makes me happy to still be in the print business, because it takes time. I mean, we get to work on things and think about them. You can't wake up in the middle of the night and tweet something. I guess I still could, but there's actually a lot of reflection that has to happen to print a magazine, and a lot of back and forth, and also a lot of eyes have to go on it. And there are two things that happen. I mean, part of the issue is, this issue is helping people to find their own truth. But that's, I guess, to get to your point, I mean, finding one's own truth is not a trivial thing. And it's very, very difficult. And it doesn't come out in 160 character bits.
Okay. I have to interrupt. Clearly you don't tweet. Yeah. It's 140 characters.
Oh, sorry. 140. Yeah, okay. Whatever it is. Yeah, I'm not a tweeter. But it's just not my thing. I feel like a dinosaur in a lot of ways. And at the same time, that's an important thing. I mean, one of the things that happened actually in my life was we started one of the first health services before the internet on CompuServe in 1988 or something. And I remember even working on it then being concerned about it, because one, it wasn't as much fun as working on a print magazine, because you don't get to work with the same art directors, but also how easy it was to just make stuff up. And that's become, you know, just glaringly obvious.
Right. Well, like you said, there's many eyes that have to look at this. So you get a lot of people's take to challenge things, to question things before it actually comes out in print. And you want to be trusted. So because the obligation isn't simply to get a magazine into someone's hands. It's to make sure you're getting fact-based reality into someone's hands. And that's not always easy to do. especially now, but just the fact it takes, I don't want to say it takes a village, but okay, it takes a village to put out a magazine. And that's the, I guess, the safety net of the magazine is that it's not just you, you know, sending out your opinion. It's people going, wait, that makes no sense. Let's rethink that, or let me get some clarification on that before we actually commit to print. So it does, it slows things down, but I think it deepens the quality of what emerges. Whereas tweeting is a whole different medium. It's got nothing to do with that. Tweeting is very in the moment, and it's only meant to be temporary. And, you know, we take it far too seriously, though. I tweet a lot. I've got 40,000 plus followers on my Twitter feed. Wow. Rabbi Rami at Twitter, however that works, at Rabbi Rami when you go to Twitter. And I do all kinds of snarky things on Twitter, but they're just meant to be fun and not, you know, they're not serious like I do for the magazine. So let me ask you another question, though, sort of along in these lines. You mentioned quickly, but I want to take it in a different context. In Adyashanti's essay, he talks about, or there's an interview with him. In the interview with him that Sam Mo does, he talks about, as you said, finding your question and using that in your practice of inquiry. And I'm wondering if you could ask the same question, what's your question, about the magazine itself. Do you think spirituality and health has a question at the core of, if you can say it, of its practice as a magazine? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The magazine comes down in one way to, it was Brother David Stindl-Drath who wrote a piece in the very first issue about spirituality as super aliveness. And that struck with me. I mean, that stuck, you know, it's just what is total aliveness? What is super aliveness? How do we be most alive? And I cling to that.
Go ahead, finish. I'm sorry.
That's about being very, very open. I mean, my background is in athletics, I mean, rowing and all that kind of stuff. But I spend most of my time talking to people who were like Adyashanti, who was so wonderfully internal and so wonderfully alive. I mean, I like Adyashanti. I haven't met him, but my understanding is he likes watching NASCAR, and, you know, he does regular things. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm not a NASCAR fan, but he's a regular person. And at the same time, he carries with him this awareness that brings people, you know, thousands of people wanting to sit with him.
So I'm going to have to wrap this up because we are out of time. But okay. But let me just go back to this and highlight what you said, because I think it's really important and very succinct the way you put it, that if there's a question that drives the magazine, that you're trying to, that motivates the magazine to be what it is. And in a sense, it's the question that we're hoping readers ask in their own way is, how do I achieve, or how do I live with this total aliveness? I mean, a magazine for total aliveness. That's what's motivating all of this. And I think that's what really makes the work that we all do for the magazine so exciting, because it's not about pushing an agenda. It's about inviting people into this notion of total aliveness. And again, just so we don't lose it, you're inviting people to actually write about what they do to achieve this total aliveness and where their passions
are. Exactly. Yeah, so, and that can be an internal practice, or it can be a way of mixing up mushroom elixirs to keep you up all night dancing. I mean, Those are both spiritual pursuits, you know?
Well, there you go. So if you have a passion that you'd like to write about, you want to get Steve's ear, they can contact you. Again, give us the email address.
It's just steve@spiritualityhealth.com.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks for talking to us. We'll catch you up. We'll catch up with you in 2 months for the next issue.
All righty. Well, thanks so much.
My guest today was Steve Kiesling. He's the editor-in-chief of Spirituality and Health magazine. Support for this show comes from the Calling Academy. using research and online courses to empower people from all faiths and spiritual paths to live a full life. Learn how to answer your call at callingacademy.com. Essential Conversations with Rabbi Rami is a project of Spirituality and Health magazine. Please log in to spiritualityhealth.com to subscribe to the magazine in print or digital formats and download the iTunes app for this podcast. Essential Conversations is produced by Ezra Baker, and our program coordinator and executive producer is Alma Tassi. I'm Rabbi Rami. Thanks for listening.
We talk to the animals, and we know you can too. On the Animal Communication Podcast, hosted by the three of us, myself, Julie Hirt,
Karen Dudley Smith,
and Meredith Tollison,
we will show you how to deepen your relationship with your beloved animal companions, whether they're alive or in spirit.
As soul-level animal communicators, we explain the process and explore topics such as health, behavior, and play, all from the animal's perspective.
So subscribe and follow us on Apple, Spotify, and listen as part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.